you. Bless you. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Can I borrow this? Thank you, Jesus. Hello, it's nice to see you all. Is everyone doing good tonight? Thank you, Lord. You know what? Can I ask you to do something? I hope you won't be offended at me asking this, but would you all like to move this way? You know, just move all this way. After all, we are a family. Huh? Look at someone and say, we are the family of God. And we love one another. Thank you, Lord. I've got to say, it's always wonderful to be here. It's a great joy. I tell you what's good. It's just good being known by God and knowing Him. Amen? And doing exploits and adventures and enjoying His presence. Oh, glory. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. See the power of God there. Thank you so much to Pastor Louis and Pastor Tina for inviting me to be here with you all. Oh, glory. Whew. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm having a blast. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Okay, I'd like you to turn to Acts and chapter 10. Thank you, Father. Thank you, James. He's the man, isn't he? Woo. And that small group of singers there. Fabulous. Well done. We enjoyed it. Every minute of it. Thank you, Father. Okay, Acts chapter 10. Can I say it's nice to see some of my friends here? It's really nice to come somewhere friendly, isn't it? You know, where you were friends to one another. It's really nice. And I was met by lots of friends tonight, which is nice. So, okay, Acts chapter 10. Where did we say we were going from? We didn't say, did we? Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Amen? That's our Jesus. Woo! Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, there's so much that I want to talk about tonight, but I've got to keep on key. I believe that we are headed towards and moving in a time where God is doing powerful, powerful things. Not just in terms of transformation, but in terms of healing, in terms of miracles. He's doing many, many wonderful things at this time. In hearts and minds, in bodies, and it's exciting. Wonderfully exciting. And I want to set the scene for this, because this is Acts chapter 10, and of course this is the household of Cornelius. And of course, I may have talked about this before, but this is the household of Pastor Louis and Tina. This is their household. I hope you understand that you are part right now of their household. And this household is a very special household in this region, in this place. You are very special people, peculiar people. peculiarly wonderful people, but you are special in this region, in this place right now. And this is a household into which God has delivered a word. And this word comes firstly to Pastor Louis and Pastor Tina. It's a word that God delivers into their heart. And this word is not just for their family, but it's for all the family that is with them, all the household that is with them. Now, I just want you to just turn back to Acts chapter 10 and verse 1 and a few verses there. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up from a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter, etc. So you know the story. So Cornelius is this man that actually, up to this point, has had no revelation of Jesus. He doesn't actually know about Jesus. Maybe he's heard about him a little bit, I don't know. But this man is a God-fearing man. So he's someone that fears God in the right way. He believes that he's walking in this life and there is someone bigger than himself watching him. Someone who knows about him. Someone who sees his every move, sees his every day, knows his every breath. He believes that there's someone like that called God, but he doesn't know who this God is. But nonetheless, he's a God-fearing man who is giving, he's doing what he knows to do. He's had a revelation, some sort of revelation. It's not about Jesus yet, but it's some revelation that he's had, and he's giving and he's praying. That's what he knows to do. And he's doing that non-stop, giving and praying, giving and praying, giving and praying. He doesn't know Jesus yet, but he's giving and praying. Let me tell you, he was activating faith on the inside of him by giving and praying. That's what he was doing. He was activating faith. Do you know, it's not difficult to activate faith. All you have to do is walk in the revelation that you presently have. That's what you do to activate faith. You just walk in what you know right now. And as you walk in what you know, you receive more. But you don't receive any more until you've walked in what you already know. But this man, he knew that he should be praying and he should be giving. So he's walking and he's praying and he's giving. And this walking and praying and giving before God actually builds a memorial in heaven. And this word memorial means that what he had built was a solid substance before God Almighty. So this man, an Old Testament type of man, has been praying and giving, and he's built by his faith. Just his simple faith, just doing what he knows to do, he's built a memorial in heaven. Just think about it. What kind of memorial have you built? Huh? What kind of memorial have you been building? Have you been giving? Have you been praying? Have you been seeking Jesus and loving Jesus? Have you been walking in the revelation that God has given you thus far? And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. You see, because Cornelius had a household. And his household was his immediate family. And then it was his servants. And then it was the soldiers. And it shows you all this. I'm not making anything up. You have to check it out afterwards. But the soldiers and the servants. And then there's the guests of his household and his extended family. This is all Cornelius' household. But Cornelius, one man, has been doing the revelation that he's got. Just this little simple thing. Praying and giving, praying and giving, praying and giving. And somehow that has built something before God. And eventually God sees what he's built. And he goes, look at that. Cornelius has built something before me. He can't kind of get around it anymore. There's this solid substance there. Because your faith builds something before God right now. That's what it does. Your faith, every step of your faith, he's doing something, building something before God. And when he sees that, he says, I'm going to give them a breakthrough. They're going to get a breakthrough. And you see, So Cornelius, this God-fearing man, God sends him an angel. Now, this is important as well, because this angel just came to him and said, Cornelius, I want you to know that your prayers have been heard and your giving's been seen. And there's a man coming to give you a revelation. Listen to me, there's a man coming to give you a revelation. Now, you might be saying, I want to see an angel. I want some angels to minister to me. Well, that's all right. The angels are ministering to you all the time. But I want to tell you, the gospel message of Jesus, the revelation that comes from heaven, the mysteries of God are delivered into men and women's hearts. You understand that? Angels long to know some of the things that we are picking up in the throne room of God. They long to know some of these things. So they're listening right now. They're tuning in. Huh? It's good, honestly. Doesn't it say it somewhere? It says it, doesn't it? I didn't make it up. He says it somewhere, doesn't it, that they long to know the mysteries. Yes. So you see, God said to this angel, go and tell Corny, young Corny there, go and tell him that I've seen his giving and I've heard his prayers, and now there's going to be a breakthrough. So all you have to tell him, there's a man coming to give him a revelation. Well, I want you to understand that Cornelius is Pastor Louis and Pastor Tina to you. This is your household. It's their household, their mum and dad of the household. Okay? And God has delivered a vision, a revelation into their hearts. This revelation was not just for them. It wasn't just for their family, even though their family's into it. This revelation's for the ones that are the soldiers and the servants and the guests and the extended family who want to be with them. But this revelation's really important because it's a revelation for you and your household. For you and your household. And please listen to me. For you and your household, this revelation that your mum and dad carry is as important to you as it is to them. And you've got to make it so important. This revelation... So you've come tonight, this revelation that they carry is as important for you, for your life, as it is for them. And it's up to you, it's your responsibility to get this revelation on the inside of you. It's not their revelation, it's their revelation and your revelation, but you've got to get it on the inside of you. It's really important. There is a vision that God has given into this place, into this house, and in order to receive it, you together have got to understand how serious it is. Because you see, when God sent Peter did not just talk to Cornelius, he talked to the whole household. He gathered the whole household. The whole household got this revelation, and that whole household affected the whole environment. That is like we are to be. All of us, but I don't think we understand it, you see, because there's so much independence in us. There's so much that says, no, I want God to give me a word. Well, I've got some news for you. God has already given you a word, and his name is Jesus. He is the foremost, most wonderful spokesman of the Father himself. And do you know that if Jesus did not want to say one more word, you have enough word here for your life and godliness forever. You understand me? If he didn't say another word, if he never opened his mouth, if he didn't decide in his abundant grace to give us any more, there's enough in that book for your life right now through to eternity. Because every word's still living. But you see, what I found out is that many Christians, they want more. I want more. I want another revelation. I want some more. I want some more. But I found out that actually, some of those very people are people who are not doing what God's already told them to do. And actually, they don't really know or see or understand what God's told them to do because they're so concerned about receiving it for themselves that they didn't understand that the message that came to Cornelius was the message that was for them. And then they had to make that message their own message. You see, this is how it is. You remember John the Baptist? John the Baptist came with a message that was a holy special revelation. You see, before heaven could come to earth, Before Jesus could bring the future down into people's hearts, before he could bring this down and place it in their hearts, first of all, something had to happen. The revelation that John carried, he had to come first. He had to bring that revelation first. So John the Baptist came and he had disciples, remember. And he came baptizing to do what? To reveal Jesus to Israel. That's why John the Baptist came. He had a revelation himself, and the revelation was that if you want the kingdom to come into your heart and life, if you want, after all these years, the kingdom to come on the earth and the Messiah to come, then what you have to do is walk where I'm walking. This revelation, John the Baptist is saying, this revelation that I have to go into this Jordan and we have to be baptized and confess our sins. This revelation, before you can get the next revelation, you have to walk in this one. You get it? So he's walking into the Jordan. He's walking into the Jordan and he's saying, come on. The kingdom of heaven's ready to come. The kingdom of heaven is going to come. But before you can have the kingdom, you've got to repent. You've got to understand what repentance means, because the promises of God cannot take place in the old heart. The promises of God cannot take place in a life of selfishness. You see, this is what we haven't understood. The promises of God need a heart that is not only new, but the temperature's just right. You understand me? The temperature of the soil's just right. So we keep this new heart, and we have the Holy Spirit in our own spirit, and he keeps this heart for us together. We keep it and guard it and watch over it diligently. And then, as we repent, as we live a life that's repentance, that says, Lord, please forgive me for this. I acknowledge this before you. As we give up our lives daily, denying ourselves things that are actually killing us, You realize that these things that we're denying ourselves, oh, people go, oh, I can't deny myself, all right, just die. Just kill yourself by carrying on doing it. There's nothing that you have to deny yourself which is good for you. Do you understand me? We haven't understood it, have we? There's nothing that you have to deny that God wants you to deny that is actually good for you. God wants what is good for you, which is called life. And in order to receive the real life, the genuine life, the authentic life, the life of God, we have to deny ourselves this thing that we call life, but really it's killing us. Because it makes us selfish, it makes us greedy, it makes us think of only me, it makes us think of that it's only about me, this life. So you see, we have to live this life daily of giving it all over, repentance. But what I found out is that many people in Christianity, in all over the world, they don't understand that actually God cannot plant seed in a heart that does not want to give itself up. Do you understand me? That's selfish. God can't cause that seed to grow. You understand me? That seed in itself has life and it has power. But unless you say, Lord, I'm laying down these things that are doing me no good, I'm giving it up. I want to be honest about it. I want to give it up to you. I want to repent. I want to leave this life that seems to be some life and get real life. Unless you like that, the promises of God cannot come forth to fruition in you. You understand me? That's pretty neat preaching, isn't it? You see, so John the Baptist is saying, come on then, come on, the kingdom of God's coming, kingdom of heaven's here, because truthfully, the kingdom of God's here, heaven is here, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, not just on your flesh, but on all flesh. Holy Spirit's poured out on this hotel right now. Holy Spirit's here, he ain't gone anywhere. He's poured out, he's just there. And now in your heart, because you're born again, you've got a new heart and a new spirit, the Holy Ghost in you. So he's inside here, internally building you and causing you to be strong as you receive the word of God. And this is the other thing that I've realized, that actually you can all sit there and Pastor Louis, Pastor Taylor can be preaching away and you're going, yes, amen, amen, amen. But then you walk out and nothing changes. You know what? You know why you're saying amen, don't you? You know, and your foot begins to go. You feel the Holy Ghost. And before you know it, you've said amen. And that means so be it. You've said it. You know why you said it? Because the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. And he agrees with the message. Oh, he loves the message. So, of course, inside you, there's this little man who's the biggest man in the world going, yeah! He's going, yeah, brother, preach it, preach it. So I'm saying to people, okay, well, you've got to repent and give up and stop it and give it to God. And people are going, yes, yes. Because that's the Holy Ghost going, yes, yes. But then what we've got to do is go, actually, the Holy Ghost is going, yes, yes. But I need to go, yes, yes. And I need to go, when I go, yes, yes, I need to go, I need to walk in that now. I need to actually practice that now. I need to actually do that now. I need to actually give up my life now. I've got to do that. So we've got to do that so that the Word of God begins to get in us, our carnality is dealt with, and we begin to just flow in the Holy Ghost. Amen? We just begin to flow in the Holy Ghost. And inside, he begins to build us up, make us strong. But anyway, this is what we're talking about. John the Baptist. John the Baptist is going, come, repentance. That's the first revelation. It's the first revelation. What many Christians did is they went, okay, well, I've repented. That's it. It's finished. No, it's not. It's not finished. You repented, and you have to carry on repenting. You have to carry on acknowledging your sin. You have to say what the truth is about yourself. You understand me? Because God knows the truth about you. He does know the truth about you. He knows who you are, what you do, what you think. He knows all about that. But he also knows that he's made you a new creation. He knows that as well. But that doesn't mean to say that you deny the truth about who you are. Because that's living in denial. Do you understand me? Many Christians live in denial. They go, well, I'm a new creation, I'm the righteousness of God, but then they live in carnality. But they can't do that. No, we've got to go, I'm a new creation, I'm the righteousness of God this morning, just as I was yesterday morning, but I realize that there's some things that I did and I need to give them to you, Lord Jesus. I need to give those up. I don't deny the fact that I've done these things. I give this up to you in the name of Jesus. Father, wash me and cleanse me. And then we believe by faith that he's heard us and that he washes us and cleanses us. And then we walk in the reality of a new creation. Did everyone get it? Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, please help us to get it. It's really important because most people are denying themselves the fact of what they do. They think that to deny their weaknesses somehow is a good thing. It's not. You have to bring your weakness to Jesus so he can turn it and make it your strength. You haven't got to hide your weaknesses. You haven't got to hide the things that you know about yourself that others don't know. You haven't got to hide that. You've got to go, no, Jesus, this is me. But you are making me into this new creation that I am becoming more and more. I'm still Simon the son of Cephas, Simon the son of Jonah, but I'm going to be Peter. You see, it's that thing there. And the more that we do that, the more we become the person that Jesus actually wants us to become. But anyway, first revelation, repentance. You see, because there's many people, the other thing that I've learned, Pastor, is that there's many people who carry illness and sickness in the body, and they carry some of these things, and actually the root cause of it is something that's going on inside them. It's some insecurity, some fear, some fear of death, some insecurity, some things that are just not... Now, I'm not saying this is true of everyone. I'm just... Please bear with me a little bit. But I was telling a story just the other day. When I was in Sri Lanka, the last time that I was in Sri Lanka, we had this couple that came up with a young boy. I think he was only 3 years old. And he had eczema all over his body. Really, really bad eczema. And they brought the child to me and they said, oh, please, Pastor, pray for our child. And the Lord immediately said to me, no, you're not going to pray for the child. You're going to pray for the marriage. So I said, just put the boy down there. Tell me what's going on in your lives. And ever since the boy was conceived, somehow they had got at each other. There was something going on because of this little boy that caused them pain and hurt inside themselves. Maybe it was, I don't remember all the details of it. And even if I did, I won't tell you. But anyway, as I prayed for them, and they had to repent of four things, really specific things, 1, 2, 3, 4. And as I prayed for them, this little boy stopped crying. And he started looking at his arms. And as I prayed for them, he got healed. Completely healed. But do you understand that there's some things that go on inside us that somehow we'll deny even before God? But God's going, no, I don't want you to deny it. I want you to bring it to me. I already know about it, so I want you to bring it to me and to be honest. Don't cover it up any longer. Be honest with me. Now that is a baptism of repentance. When you live your life like that, you are living in that revelation. And that was the first revelation that came before Jesus. Let me just read this again. What does it say? So Peter's talking. He's talking to Cornelius and he says this. He says, verse 37 of Acts chapter 10, "The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism that John preached." It didn't begin before, it began after. Because God has got to establish some things firmly in our hearts and minds before he can bring the transformation that we truly long and desire for. It's already there inside us, but somehow the carnality and the denial that we live stops the life of God flowing from internally. Now, what we've had thus far is we've had external blessing. So Christianity worldwide has external blessing. So the power of God comes, the anointing falls. Pastor Louis, Pastor Tina can come and pray for you and the anointing falls on you and you go, woo, woo, that's the power of God. But somehow you've got to keep that power. Somehow you've got to keep that healing. It's got to be in you. It's a little bit like Jesus said. He said, boys, you remember John 15? And verse 3, he said, boys, you know the word that I've spoken and the word's cleansed you. So in other words, they're with him and they're like going through this car wash. So they're just fellas. These are normal fellas. Any normal fellas here? Okay, normal fellas. Ladies, you know about normal fellas, okay. But they, when they first started walking with Jesus, it was like they'd say things and react in ways and do things and they'd need to be washed. So it was like going through a car wash. When Jesus spoke, it was like, cleansed. Like going through the car wash on Sunday morning. Or coming to church on Sunday morning. You had a bad week and you come and the word of God comes and you feel cleansed when you walk out. But Jesus said, I don't just want you to feel cleansed. I want you to feel well. I want the word that I've spoken not just to cleanse you and go past you and cleanse, take it all away, but I want that word to stay in you so that you were healed, so that you were whole, so that that word becomes your life. Well, you see, the car wash, it's like an external thing. Ooh, feel better now. But we need an internal car wash. You understand me? And the Holy Ghost is in our spirit, is already here. He's here, right here, inside. Say he's inside me right now. He's inside me, you know. You know, right now, there's enough power. If I should drop dead right now, I won't really die. Okay, so don't be worried. If I do, I'm not really dead. That's just my body there. I've gone. All right, you understand me? If I drop dead, I'm not really dead. I'm just alive now, even more alive than I was now. That's going to shock a lot of people, isn't it? Lots of Christians are going to get shocked. The first big shock is going to be, I didn't die. Where's the box? Where's the coffin? I didn't die. That's going to be the first big shock. So anyway, what was I talking about? So this word somehow has to get on the inside of us. It has to begin to wash us internally. We have to have this word of life, not just passing by us, not just anointing us externally, but anointing us internally. And the only way that it can anoint us internally is when I go, okay, this is how I am, Lord, but this is what you've made me to be. And you have to do that all the time. This is what I am. This is what you've made me to be. I'm not denying the truth about what God's done, nor am I denying the fact of my weakness or my feelings. I'm just going, okay, Lord, this is what you've made me to be. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But you've seen what I'm like. You know those reactions. You know those attitudes. Lord, I'm so sorry. Please, Lord, would you allow the word? I submit myself to that word inside that's going to recreate me. It's going to bring me this life all the time. So it's not just a Sunday thing or a Wednesday thing. It's an everyday thing, an every minute thing on the inside. And it's like a house. We begin to get furnished inside by the Word of God. And the Word of God begins to richly dwell on the inside of us. So then we paraphrase this. You know, it's not just scriptures. It's like paraphrased life, you know. It just is your life. And you begin to talk and it's life that comes out. You understand me? It's not just scriptures, it's life that comes out. And people go, ooh, what was that? We were just talking about Sunday lunch. What was that that happened? Yeah, that's life that's flowing out. But you see, this is what I was interested in. That actually, he said there, the word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Just go with me real quick to Matthew chapter 3. I just want to look at this. Now, I know that we are going to pray tonight. We had a blast today. Oh, we've had a blast at Pastor Max's today. It was wonderful. Power of God, very, very powerful. Woo! It was wonderful. But I felt like the Lord said to me today, he said, Paul, I just want you to lay some kind of foundation so that on Wednesday night, we can really have a blast. Just a blast. You know, just in the Holy Ghost. But I just felt him say to me, I just want you to lay this foundation so everyone really gets it and understands it and goes away and begins to think about it and can in these next days just go, Lord, I lay this off to you. I give it up to you. I put it to death. I don't want it anymore. So that we get to a place where actually we're really being real with Jesus. And that actually when the anointing comes, both internally and externally, there's a power explosion when they both meet. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, let's have a look. This is what he says here. Ooh, hallelujah. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Whoa, I tell you, that's radical, isn't it, that we're confessing the sins. So John had said, the heavens coming to the earth. Jesus is bringing your future. Jesus is bringing your destiny. Everything's there for you. But before you can have any of it, you've got to confess your sins and acknowledge your sins. You've got to enter into this baptism of repentance. And then you've got to carry on walking in that. Because you see, this is around the Jordan. Jordan is symbolic of all the promises of God. All the promises of God. All the promises of God. When you keep in this place, the promises of God can just enter in. Can just enter in. And it's funny what happens. It's like you don't even have to, after a little while, you don't even have to try, because it just kind of, the promises of God just find the ground and just begin to, and suddenly you're talking about something and you never realized what it was until you talked about it and revelation's pouring out. And you go, yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's what I live. It's a really strange thing, but it's like you don't have to be studying it, although studying it's okay, but you don't have to be doing that. It's like it's life. So it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. So in other words, they were justifying. They were going, no, we really don't need to do that because according to the scripture, we're Abraham's kids, therefore we don't need to do that. And John the Baptist were going, no, you're wrong. If you are Abraham's kids, you will do it. You understand me? If you truly are Abraham's kids, then this won't be a hassle for you because you know that this is what is part of Abraham's walk. So he said, bear fruits worthy of repentance. So that means, you see, this is a little bit like this, isn't it? It's like, you know, when someone comes up and they says, "Oh, please forgive me, please forgive me." And Jesus said, if they had, you know, 77 times 77, whatever it was, you have to forgive them. But actually, when someone comes and says, "Please forgive me," the outworking of that statement is that they begin to walk in the opposite spirit. You understand me? So, if you've been grouchy all week to your spouse, let's say you've been grouchy all week, you've been a real grouch, and you know, and under the word, you just get this, "Oh, Jesus, I really need to say sorry. Sorry to you, Lord, I'm going to go home and say sorry to my wife." And you say sorry, and then the next day you get up and you're a grouch again. Well, really, it really wasn't repentance. You were just saying sorry. But that wasn't enough. It really wasn't enough. Because actually, when you say sorry, and it's a real sorry, the Holy Ghost goes, "Ooh, he's saying sorry. Now I'm going to empower him to live in the opposite spirit. So now instead of being a grouch, I'm going to be full of peace and joy and say something that's good and uplifting and upbuilding. Because that's what the Holy Ghost does." You understand me? You can't say sorry and then not show the fruit of repentance. But this is what I see in the Western church especially, that actually many people say, "Sorry, sorry, sorry, sorry." And of course everybody goes, "Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven." But then they go wrong and do exactly the same again and again and again and again. That's not repentance. That's just sorry. No, it's true, honestly. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, what vehemence you showed, what incredible vindication you showed, what zealousness you showed when I said this to you. So he's talking to the whole church. He said, "I said this to you, and for a moment you were sorry, but that sorriness turned to repentance, which led to life." So he's going, repentance leads you into life. It doesn't lead you to death, it leads you into life. True repentance brings life, salvation, wholeness. So true repentance means that we change internally. Isn't it beautiful? And this is the same thing with this whole thing about denying yourself and giving up and dying. You know, because I was about, I've got to deny myself again. Oh, it's so difficult. I call those martyrs for Jesus. Oh, it's so difficult. My life's been so difficult. I have to do this all the time. And I look at them and I think, but there's no life there. Because the truth is that wherever there is death, and it's to do with the kingdom, there's also life. They go hand in hand, you understand me? You give it up and it's real, God gives you life. You give it up, it's real, God gives you life. Life, 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 all the time. So you can't give anything up and then be miserable about it. Because you already got life if you really gave it up to God. Because he already supplied life on the inside. Oh, Jesus. So, he says, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees." And I tell you, I believe, I really truly believe this, that the Spirit of Almighty God is looking at the church that represents the kingdom on the earth right now, and his eyes upon the church. You see, because he's already done everything that needs to be done. The power's already here. The word's already given. It's already there, but somehow we're not bringing to deliverance what we should be bringing. So there's a problem, and it's not on God's side. So there's a report going out in all the kingdom right now about the reality of Christianity. Because you see, people want to see reality and authenticity in Christianity. You see, they've heard for long enough the songs and the prayers, and they've seen it all. They can switch on the television and watch the television if they want, but what they really, 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 really want is some life. I mean, real life, authentic life. That's what they want. They want someone a bit truthful with them and honest with them and say, "Yeah, I've just been like you. I've just lived like that. But Jesus came inside and he did something to me. And this is how it works." Amen. You know, so that we can actually tell people how it works, what Jesus does with us. So you see, the point was that Jesus said to me, okay, so there's a revelation that comes. And once we walk in that revelation, there's another revelation that comes. And every revelation that comes from God brings life with it. So I felt like he was saying to me, it's a bit two-pronged this, that this is the house of Cornelius. And there's been a vision delivered to Corny and his wife. To Cornelius and his wife, to Pastor Cahen. There's a vision being delivered. Okay? A vision. It wasn't just for his own family. It's for all the family that believes that God has led them here. And that's another issue, isn't it? How many people actually believe that God's led them here? I know that there's a few visitors tonight, so that's okay. But okay, so you know that. But of course, when it gets a little bit tough, we suddenly are going, oh, I'm not sure that God did leave me here now. I'm not quite sure that it was God that led me here. And suddenly the chief shepherd, the great shepherd and the good shepherd, who does lead his sheep, suddenly is no longer leading them. He either got you here, or you're either here because he wants you here, or you're in the wrong place. No, you understand me? You're here in disobedience, unless you're a guest, of course. Please understand me. I'm talking to the household. So somehow, we've got a weird theology. Our theology needs sorting out altogether, I think. I think we need a reformation of theology, actually, in the church, because there's lots of things that we do that actually are not Christianity at all. Now they may well be Old Testament, you understand me? Because in the Old Testament, everything was external. Everything was external. It was all external. Oh, the power, the Shekinah glory of God, the power, the temple, all external. But now you are the temple. Now the Holy Ghost is in you. The Shekinah glory is in you. It's all internal. But we keep going, oh Lord, pour out your power. And he's going, I've poured out my power. Oh Lord, visit us. I have visited you. Oh Lord, send someone to us. I have sent someone to you. Oh Lord, give us a vision, give us a word. I have given you a vision and a word. But it's like we go, I'm just going to lay it on Jesus. But the question is, the revelation that is in this house, did you understand, did you see, and did you get this revelation? Now, I'm saying right now, as a messenger of the Lord, that everyone that is part of this household should know this vision as well as mum and dad. Everyone. And it's your job not only to get this vision in your own heart, but to get it in the hearts of your own household. Because it will affect you and change you and make you into the people that God wants you to be. You understand me? You actually don't need to go running around everywhere. You don't need to go to any more conferences. You don't need to do any of that stuff. Because in this house, there is enough for you to eat. Please listen to me. Because somehow we've got to deal with this in America. Because people are running to and fro. Give me another word. Give me another prophetic word. Oh, I need this. I need that. I need the other. But actually, they don't know the first revelation that they got. They don't even know what God's taught them. Yesterday, I was saying, wherever we were yesterday, I was talking about the fact that actually there's a journey. We can journal the journey that Jesus has had us on. I can actually journal my journey. So within 2 years, the first 2 years that I was saved, I can tell you what Jesus actually taught me in those 2 years. Now, of course, he's still teaching me some of those very things. But since he taught me those things and I got them on the inside, you will hear them again and again in what I teach and preach. Because it's who I am. You understand me? Now, that's 22 years ago. So what have you learned? In all the years that you've been walking with Jesus, do you know what he's taught you? Do you know the revelation that he's given you? Do you know the revelation that's in the house? Have you got it? Have you seen it? Do you walk it? Because you're saying, Lord, fill this place. Do something in this place. Do something in this region. But I want to tell you are the answer to that prayer. Because if you don't know what's going on in the house, if you don't know what God said in the house, then he's not going to send lots and lots of other people because they won't know either. Because you're meant to be able to impart that to them. Do you understand this? It's really important. It's not the way that we think, though, is it, in the Western world? We just don't think like this way. So I know I'm kind of dealing with some mindsets that are like, not quite. We're so independent, but this is a household. This is a family. So, okay, I'm just going to close up now. Thank you, Lord. Is anyone else warm? Thank you, Lord. That word you know, So there is a word that you need to know. There is a word that you need to know. There is a vision that you need to see. There's something that God's spoken to you that you need. You know, every time I come to this house, I see a building that's like, it's like, it's in the shadow somehow. I think I shared it with Pastor Louis last time that I was here, or the time before. But it's like I can see this building, but it's like in the shadows. And somehow that building's got to come out of the shadows and become a reality. And somehow it's got to become a reality. But I sense that actually that becomes a reality as you understand why you were here. As you get it as a household, and your households understand it, that somehow that is going to become a reality. Now you're saying to the Lord, Lord, bring this thing to us. We want to see it. And it's there already. But it's something to do with where you're at. Because corporately, not just mum and dad, but corporately, you've got to have faith to bring this thing into existence. And it's already there, but it's got to be made manifest. So there is a word which God sent to the children of Israel, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Amen? Now, I just want to tell you this. Oppression. Let's just go to Acts chapter 7. I'm going to leave these things with you, because I'll pray for anyone that Pastor would want me to pray with tonight, and for anyone that wants prayer. But I want to leave these things with you somehow to think about. Acts 7, verse 17, it says, but when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Isn't it a wonderful verse, that? When the time of the promise drew near. So when the fulfillment of the promise got closer and closer, the closer it got, the more life it produced. So the growing and multiplying. So with God, there's growth and multiplication, isn't there? Internally first. There's a reproduction of life. So even in Egypt, they were bringing forth life. Yeah? But the time of the fulfillment of the promise is coming close. So there's some words and some promises that are coming close to you that are nearly there for fulfillment. There's life beginning to rise up and multiply and reproduce. But listen to this. It says, till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. This is really interesting, because a lot of the time we get into this place where the fulfillment of the promise, either internally in our own lives, for our own families, or for the household, it gets closer. We begin to see the life of God begins to increase and increase. Things are happening. You know, there's a buzz. But just at that point, the devil begins to get even more infuriated about things. He begins to press. Every way that he can, he begins to press. And you just think, oh, now we're just beginning to come into this new place. People begin to come. We're beginning to get this flow and there's this power moving. And then suddenly, we see people leaving again. What in all the world's going on now? Well, you see, the devil doesn't like it, because he knows it's getting closer and closer to the time. He knows it's getting closer and closer, and he wants to oppress. Now, listen to who he oppresses. He oppresses the forefathers. He oppresses the fathers, because the fathers are meant to be the leaders, the household heads. The ones that are secure. Now listen to me, ladies. I want to say, when I'm saying this, what I mean is that the ones that are the leaders are the ones that are giving the life for you. I mean, they're the ones that think about you more than they think about themselves. They're the ones who've got vision for you, who want to see you released, who want to see you equipped, who want to see you brought out into the fullness of God. That's the people who God gives to lead. Because that's what Jesus did. You understand that? So the fellas, for all the fellas, your job is to give your life for your wife. That's what it is. Oh yeah, but my wife's going to be respectful and submit to me. I'll tell you what, she will be respectful and submit to you when you show that you're giving your life for her. Because then she'll trust you and she'll love you and she'll respect you and she'll want to walk with you. Huh? Isn't it true? But you see, the devil, when he comes to oppress, he oppresses the fathers. Oh, he goes straight for the fathers. Because he knows that if he can oppress the dads, if he can oppress the husbands, the household heads, if he can oppress them, he's going to stop everything. Because he just presses down, he oppresses them, he presses down more and more, so that they give up the very things that they have lived and dreamt and breathed of. The things that they've heard being preached, the things that they've seen on the screen, the things that they've gone, oh yes, I'll give my life for this. But then the oppression comes and he presses us down and presses us down. And then suddenly they go, oh, I'm too weary with this now. I'm too weary. It's too much. It's costing me too much. I don't know if I can do this anymore. There's an easier way for me. There's another place for me to go. Oh, and they begin to cry and scream and go, I can't take it anymore. But the promise is right there. You understand me? It's right there. But they give it up. And that which is most precious to them, they give it up. So these were their own children. They began to give up their own children. Can you imagine what's more precious than your own children? I couldn't even imagine doing it. But they give up their own children. And they give up each other so easily. It's like the church. We give up each other so easily. We don't fight for one another. We don't fight for one another. Because we're only concerned about ourselves. In the end, we're just bothered about me and mine. But actually, we're meant to be fighting for one another. We're meant to be in prayer for one another. We're meant to be giving to one another. We're meant to be looking after one another. That's what the kingdom's all about. It's a selfless kingdom. That's what it's all about. But somehow, we've got all taken up with ourselves. And we get a little bit of oppression. And now we're crying and screaming. And Lord, no, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. I'm giving it up. And we give up that which we love, that which is most precious to us. We give up the dreams. We give up the promises. We give up the things that God's put in our hearts so easily. We just give it up. And we didn't realize we were just so far away from seeing the fulfillment of it. Huh? I want to see you. I've been in situations like that where it was just on the edge of a breakthrough. Just on the edge of a breakthrough. And he went, oh, it's too much. I can't stand it anymore. I'm going. I've had enough. I'm leaving her. I'm off. I'm leaving him. I'm leaving the kids. I've had enough of it. I'm leaving the church. I don't like it anymore. It's too hard. I don't like what they're preaching anymore. I'm going some other place. Oh, well, go some other place. But I'll tell you what, you'll end up going around that mountain once again. You understand me? You'll go once again, once again, once again, once again. You remember Moses? He went round the same old mountain. He went round this place called Midian. Judgment. He went round this place again and again and again, and God took him out of Egypt, you know, and he got it all wrong, didn't he? I won't go into all that, but he got it wrong. His heart was right, but he got it wrong, because he only knew what the world ways were. If you read this passage further down, he only knew what the world's ways were. So, because he thought he was doing something good, and it was from God, you understand me? He had it in God. He had justice. He had these things inside him. He was a deliverer. He was a judge. God had put this in his DNA. The problem is that he wanted to do it in a way, in the only way that he knew, the world's way. In the end, God took him out and said, okay, because you're so dense, Moses, because you're so spiritually dense, and you have no knowledge of the kingdom, and that's what we're talking about. There's lots of dense people who have no knowledge of the kingdom. They don't. They have a knowledge of the world, but they don't really understand what the kingdom's like. And God has to take him, and he says, okay, Midian, it means judgment. And he has to judge the flesh. He has to judge the carnality. You understand me? And when he judges to deliverance. So he's not judging to condemnation. He's not judging to make you feel bad. He's not saying any of these things so you go, oh, you're at me again. He's not doing any of that. He's going, no, no, I've got a path for you to walk. I want you to get from A to B and B to C and C to D and D to E. I've got this path for you to walk on. But I've got to judge your flesh. 40 years. Moses went round the same old mountain 40 years. Huh? He had two sons in the land of Midian. He went round that mountain. It took him 40 years to understand what the kingdom was like. I tell you, he was dense. Spiritually dense. He wasn't. And of course, we'll meet him when we go up, and I won't be saying that any longer. Because God did make him into a great ruler and a judge, didn't he? Incredible. And you know, he was very meek as well. He was very meek. He had all that authority because of his meekness. All that authority because of meekness. Meekness is humility with great power. We need a bit of that in the church as well. Humility with great power. But anyway, where did we get to? I don't even know how we got onto that. Do you know how we got there? I know, it's good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So, we've got this journey to go on. And there has to be an establishment of certain things in our hearts and lives in order for God to bring a greater revelation to us. You have a revelation here. You have to understand it. It's yours to be had. It's for you and your household, as well as this whole household. And once it's established, the things that are in the shadows, the things that are not yet here, those will begin to be made manifest. And I feel like they're not far off. You understand me? Hey, tonight, I just thought there's a buzz in the house. Man, there's a buzz here. Ooh, Holy Ghost buzz everywhere. Huh? And you know, your hearts, you love him. You love him. There's such a love in the house, such a joy, such an expression. You're so close. But somehow now you've got to understand, okay, this is different to the world. This is different. We're on a different program to the world. And again, the fulfillment of this, we have to keep going. That's where we were, weren't we? The oppression. The oppression of the fathers. Making them expose their babies so that they might not live. That's what the devil wants. He don't like you, honestly. Don't have coffee with the devil. He don't like you. Is it a steal, kill, and destroy? He hates you. Don't you invite him in the back door and have a cup of coffee with him. Because he wants to kill you. He's not nice. No, I mean, he's really not nice. So if you want to hang on to the envy and you want to hang on to the bitterness and you want to hang on to the resentment and you're not ready to give it up, well, you know what? You're opening a door for him. You know what? When you do that, you're just going, hey, whoa, you see this? There's a part in my inner man that doesn't want to be healed and I want you to come in and hook me. And this is why lots of people get hooked with infirmity. They get hooked with sickness. They get hooked with things because the devil, who doesn't know your thoughts, but he watches your actions, he hears what you say from your mouth. So does everybody else, by the way. It's whether you hear what you say with your mouth that's important. You understand that? Everyone else hears what you say. The devil hears what you say. And maybe the devil's not so, he's not so carried away with. You know, we blame the devil for a lot of stuff. He's got lots of minions and stuff, and he keeps his eyes on us. But actually, most of what goes on around us is carnality. It's just pure carnality. And the more that we live in our carnality, the more that we hang on to these things, we're just like this open door that goes, come on then, hook me. Hook me. And then we go, I've got pain. I can't hardly move now. Well, okay, let go. Let God into that place. Give it up. Give it up, because it's time you gave it all up. Now it's time that this whole congregation was living in the Holy Ghost. It's time that we were Holy Ghost people, just natural, normal, but Holy Ghost people, isn't it? It's time that there was a church that really is the church. A time that the church really did kind of get the kingdom in it. Because we're meant to be kingdom carriers, you understand me? It's what the church is. It's the kingdom carrier on the face of the earth. So really, we need to be these vessels that just carry him. And don't carry much else. Huh? Get rid of the weights. Get rid of all the stuff. You know, sometimes I see people, I'm just saying this to you, sometimes I see people, and actually, this was another time that I prayed for this guy. I might have told you about this, but I didn't realize when I prayed for him, I punched him. I punched him really hard, and he went down on the carpet. And when I looked at him, I saw this black, big black boulder that was on him, and it was living. I actually saw it on his shoulders. It was living all across his shoulders. And from it was chains that came down into his heart. And they got his heart. And I said to him, tell me about this. And he told me about that. And he told me all about those things. And I said, okay, well, this is what you've got to do. You've got to acknowledge that and repent of it before the Lord. And as you do, the weight of that will leave you. And then you're going to be healed. I didn't know why he was stood there, but he was going for a triple heart bypass the next day. I had no idea about this. So he went through all this prayer, and then in this usual style, I smacked him real hard. Don't try this at home, okay? It don't always work. I smacked him really hard, and he fell to the ground as though dead. And I went, oh, Jesus, Shepard, let's move on. And his wife started weeping. She went pale and she started weeping. And then 5 minutes later, this guy gets up from the floor and he's running around the building, running and running, and now she's really weeping. And then she starts going, oh, Jesus, Jesus. And all this uproar breaks out. And I said, okay, tell me what happened. And she said, oh, yesterday you went for this test on one of these runners. I don't know what you call it. You know, before you have a hat. Yeah, one of those. And he couldn't even do the normal. Like, he got out of breath. He could hardly do it. And she said, look at him. He's running now. He's running. Tomorrow he's going for a triple heart bypass. And you just punched him. I'm glad I didn't know that before I did that. But he set off running. Completely healed. What was all that? It wasn't a physical thing, but you understand why I'm telling you this. It wasn't a physical thing. It was a psychological weight that was on him. But he was living. It was actually breathing and moving. It was darkness that somehow had chained his heart. And these are the kind of things that we walk with. You understand me? So resentment and envy, maliciousness, gossip. These kind of things, you have to repent of them. There's no other word for it. And maybe you have to confess that sin. Maybe you have to speak it out loud. We don't like doing any of those things. But maybe you've got to do it to get free in the name of Jesus. Because when you do that, then comes the next revelation. That's when you get it. You understand me? And faith is doing what you know to do. That's it. That's what faith is. Just do it. And then you get free. Amen? Okay, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We love the word of the living God. Father, I bless you and I praise you, Jesus, for your word, Lord, that you are the living word, Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the anointing, Lord, that is within us. And Father, right now, I speak, Father, that anointing on the inside of us. Jesus, first of all, Lord, I say that the anointing on the inside of every single person in this room, Lord, will teach us the primary purpose of the anointing, to teach us the truth of the kingdom, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that there would be truth deep on the inside of us. And Lord, that this truth, Lord, we'd not just hear it, but that we would begin to do the truth, Lord. And in doing it, Lord, the truth would set us free, Lord. Father, I ask, Lord, for the Holy Ghost to enlighten the eyes of our understanding, Lord. I ask, Lord, for the Holy Ghost to give us revelation, Lord. Revelation, Lord, for wisdom and insight, Father, that we might really know the truth and that we would walk in the truth, Father. And Lord, I ask as well, Father, that this whole church, Father, in the name of Jesus, might know, Lord, what it means to walk in the baptism of repentance, Lord, that they would know what it means, Lord, to acknowledge sin, to confess sin, Father, to bring sin before you, to be real and honest men and women of integrity, Father. Lord, I say that every lying spirit, Lord, every spirit of deceiving, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I say let it be exposed in Jesus' name. Lord, let the light, Father, of life, shine in us, Jesus. Let it shine in us. Father, I say, be released in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak to the anointing on the inside of us and say, be released in the name of Jesus. Let that light flow, Father, within us. Let the light of life fill up every room, Lord. Every room inside us, Lord Jesus. Furnish our house, Lord, with wisdom and with truth, Lord. Furnish us, Lord. Bring light into every room, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, into emotional, unhealed areas, Father, I ask Jesus that the Holy Ghost would begin to expose and convict and show us these places, Lord, that need healing, Lord, that need being brought before you, Father. Lord, show us, Jesus. Emotions, thinking, Lord, perspectives, motivations, Father, show us, Father. I'm asking it in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, Father, we love you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you truly have done everything, Lord, that could be done, Lord. Everything has been done, Lord. It is finished, Father. And every promise is yes and amen, Lord. And we can have and walk in every promise, Father. And I pray, Lord, for this household, Lord, that it would begin to walk in every promise that has been given to it, Father. they would understand it and see it, Father, and walk in it, Father. This vision that is in this house, Lord, that it would be downloaded and uploaded, Father, on the inside of every member of this house, Father, and every household in this household, Father, and that they would begin to walk in it, Father. Lord, that they begin to walk in it for this region, Lord, for this place, Lord, for this town, Lord, this city, Father. Lord Jesus, these are your people of life in this place, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. Life and light, Lord. I bless you and I praise you, Jesus. You are so wonderful. You are so wonderful. Do you want to sing something? Just sing, worship the Lord.
Let your wind blow.
Thank you, Father.
Let your wind blow. Let your wind blow. Revive us again, Lord. Let your wind blow. Let your wind blow. Let your wind blow, revive us again, Lord. Let your wind blow, let your wind blow, let your wind blow, revive us again, Lord. Let your wind blow, let your wind blow, let your wind blow, revive us again, Lord. Let your wind blow, let your wind blow. Let your wind blow, revive us again, Lord. Let your wind blow, let your wind blow, let your wind blow, revive us again, Lord. Let your wind blow, let your wind blow, let your wind blow, revive us again, Lord.
Just keep that atmosphere, and everybody just stand up. When I was hearing the story about that living stone or whatever it was that he was talking about with the chains going down in the heart, I really felt like that was a word for somebody here. That you carried something like that. And I'm not sure how you explained it. What did you actually say that the condition was as a result of the psychological imprisonment, the oppression? Yeah, that was a powerful thing. And I really believe that was a word for some of us. And I don't know who that might be, but, you know, we just can take authority over that thing tonight, right? And believe God for that thing to be broken in the name of Jesus. What a powerful word about oppression coming against the fathers. So today we want to be free, right? So sing, let the wind blow. Come on, lift your hands up.
Let the wind blow.
Say, set me free, Jesus.
Let the wind
blow. We need freedom tonight, Lord.
Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. Revive us again, Lord. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. Revive us again, Lord. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. Revive us again, Lord. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. Revive us again, Lord. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow.
Jesus, tonight. Let it blow, Lord. Father, we want to come against and take authority over every oppressive thing that is moved in on the fathers, that is moved in on households as a result. Lord, we come now and bind that thing and command it to loose its hold, loose its grip now. And let freedom reign. And we thank you, Lord, that the wind is blowing again in our homes. The wind is blowing again, oh God, in our spirit. That our faith is renewed and we're rising up in greater expectation. So let your wind blow, Lord. And let your fire fall, Lord. And we'll give you thanks and give you glory and give you praise, Lord. Because we know that you are the King. You are the conquering King. For this reason, Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask the elders to come across the front, please. And for those of you that say, you know what? I really need to have prayer. I really need to have someone agree with me about that very thing. I want you to come right now. Just find one of these brothers, one of these sisters. Paul's going to be back Wednesday night. We're going to be right here. And he really felt like this was foundational for what God wanted to do Wednesday. He said to me, Wednesday night is going to be a Holy Ghost release. So we're just going to get ready for that. But tonight, maybe this word meant something to you and you need that prayer. So I'm going to open this opportunity up right now. Father, thank you again for these times that we have in your presence. Thank you for this understanding. Lord, you said that understanding, that wisdom is the principal thing. And so we know, God, now that we have a word, we can move out on that word. And God, you've given us direction. And so because we can step out in faith, one step at a time, we're going to begin to see the difference. We're going to begin to see, oh God, the results of this word tonight. This word, oh God, is going beneath the surface. This word tonight is going deep within our spirit. And so, Father, we give you thanks for it. We give you praise, Lord. And we honor you in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask. Just one last time, lift your hands up before the Lord. Just say, Lord, let the wind blow in my heart. Let it blow in my home. Let it blow in my marriage, Lord. Let it blow, God, all over me. Let it blow at work tomorrow, God. Let the winds blow. Let the winds blow. Jesus, we know, God, that we need your winds. Let them blow again, Father, across this land, across this region, God. Let the wind blow. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for it, God. We're so grateful, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. As they're receiving prayer, I wanted to make an announcement. Mark had asked me to make this announcement. We have just a few moments to be out of this building. So these gentlemen need help. We have to load up everything in our trailer tonight. And if you'd be so kind to help us, we would appreciate that. Only take about 15 minutes if everybody helps. All you strong men, God bless all of you. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. Wednesday night, right here, 7 o'clock. Tell somebody I love you. There's nothing you can do about it.